Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Welcome once again to the Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Well, Alex, Tiger showed me exactly what I had hoped for, but more about the Tiger later. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, but I'm shocked that you said he showed you exactly what you were expecting.
Well,
what were you expect? I can't think that you were expecting he would get blown out by 26 shots. I guess I didn't see that in as part of your expectations.
Well, I'll be able to break it down for you a little later on in the show, and you'll understand clearly why I'm delighted with what I saw.
Let me just tell you something right now. First of all, I don't know how you could be delighted. Second, I don't think I will understand, and I certainly won't understand clearly.
Well, that it's incumbent upon me to try and accomplish that. I have some facts. Facts don't lie. There's no way you're going to be able to dispute them. So, I said,
I'm sorry. Wait. He could have hit every fairway and every green and made every putt. He finished 26 shots behind the winner. 26 shots on a golf course that he probably knows better than any other golf course in the world, that he practices on all the time.
No, he used to.
So what fact could you give me that would encourage you after seeing that performance?
Well, I'm saving that for later on in the show, and I'll gladly accept your apology. You know, when I disclose what I have, you're going to have to say, boy, Bob, you know, looking at it that way, you're absolutely correct. But, like I said, more about Tiger later in the show. It certainly was an outstanding performance by Jordan Spieth. This time of year, really not much golf going on. We did have the event down in Sun City, pretty amazing event where last place there was worth $100,000. I mean, it's just incredible money.
Well, I mean, this is the real silly season. You get paid a lot for doing little. You know, small fields. What's shocking to me is not the money. It's the fact that they give world ranking points not only last week at Nedbank, but also at Tiger's World Challenge. I mean, how do you get ranking points for finishing 26 shots out of the lead?
Well, the amazing thing along those lines, you know, you not only get ranking points, but Jordan Spieth is going to get more world ranking points than a winner of this upcoming AT&T out at Pebble Beach. Now, to me, that is mystifying. That's a full field event, 156 players, a very popular event, and you don't get as many world ranking points as the winner of the Hero World Challenge. I'm confused about.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I think that's the problem with the world rankings. The players are trying to persuade the powers that be that they need these ranking points to have these tournaments. That's the only reason people will go, and that may all be true, but, I mean, you can't give ranking points away like that. And it just makes the rich get richer kind of thing, because to get in that field, you have to be highly ranked to begin with. So all it is just continuing to give you, you know, higher ranking, keep you in the higher ranking situation. It's just like the World Golf Championships. I mean, if you're highly ranked and you play in those, you're going to get ranking points. I mean, you're going to finish 33rd when it comes to match play. Tie for 33rd if you lose.
Your first match.
Right. You lose your first match, you're tied for 33rd, and you're getting world ranking points for that. If you win one match, you're going to finish tied for 17th.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose the next match. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's, you know, the point that you driving home, and it's the one that really has so much validity to it, is the fact that in order to get in these prestigious events, or whatever you want to call them, personal events, you have to have a high world ranking. So you have a high world ranking, that gets you into the event, and then you automatically win more world ranking points.
Yeah, it's just not a good thing. And I mean, let us be truthful here. No matter what you want to think of Tiger or Hunter Mahan, who actually tied for last T17, they don't deserve to get the world ranking points that they're going to get out of that event. They just don't deserve it.
Well, something has to be changed with the system. I don't see anything on the horizon. I don't think the drums are beating loud enough. You know, because those that are beating of the drums are the ones that are not highly ranked in the world. So their message gets put on the back burner.
Yeah, well, but I mean, at the same time, their message is one of, you know, get me starts. That's why we have a situation where we have events, we have opposite field events, we have other events, we have events where people that probably, you know, we make events up or we create situations for players to give them more and more opportunities to play when, quite honestly, you know, they're at the bottom of the barrel, yet they still get opportunities. So, you know, it's always something. It's always some way, shape, or form we're messing with the situations. But, you know, that's professional golf. I guess at some point you accept it. But, you know, it really makes a difference to some guys if they don't get like in the top 50 in the world. I mean, you know, right now Brant Snedeker is not in the top 50 in the world. He's not going to get into the four majors. Now, he's had a decent, he's not had a good year. I understand that. But yet at the same time, he's certainly not a guy that doesn't deserve to be in those events. So, and he doesn't get in them because he doesn't get into the other stuff. And it's just it's a perpetual type of thing. Once you start going downhill, ask anybody else. Once you start going downhill, it is very hard to stop the slide. Ernie did it by winning the Open Championship. But here's a guy that couldn't get into the Masters because he couldn't arrest the slide that he had in the world rankings. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's difficult. If you're going to make the world rankings the be-all and end-all in regards to determining what fields you get into and what events you get into, you can't be giving away points like this to small or lesser events.
Yeah, it's definitely a disadvantage to those needing the ranking points the most. The points go to the ones that need them the least. I mean, it's a very, very vicious cycle, no matter how you analyze it.
So, anyways, that being said, you still have to explain to me. I can't wait to hear, actually, as we're going to go to break and we get to around the world of golf. I can't wait. I'm here with bated breath, as they would say, waiting to hear your explanation of why you are excited, I think was your term, about Tiger's performance last week. I cannot wait for that. And I'm sure everyone else is waiting too, but we first have to go to break. You're listening to The Grow Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, powered by Golf Week, the Insider's Golf Home, and heard on TuneIn. Bobby, I'll tell you, you're going to need some really powerful Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses to show me the way on Tiger Woods. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
As Mr. Maselli promised you, time now to go around the world of golf, and why not? Let's begin at the PGA Tour. 21-year-old Jordan Spieth wow, what a performance. And you know, Alex, when you couple that with what he did down in Australia, 63 down in Australia, 63 in Florida the very next week. I mean, he was able to stop in Dallas, for where he lives, for a couple of hours, only because he's building a new home there. I guess after the World Challenge and that victory check, he's probably going to add a few more rooms to the home. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me right now how well Jordan Spieth is playing this game, and he's only 21 years old.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure about mind-boggling. I mean, there was a lot of discussion over the last year and a half on how good this kid could be. So he is just showing you that, you know, you were right, and everyone else was right. What's interesting is you know, he didn't get in through Q school. He couldn't get through Q school, so he had to go another route, the same route that Charles Howell did and Phil Mickelson, winning or at least playing well enough to earn your card on the PGA Tour events. But I think back to 2 years ago, there were manufacturers that weren't sure that they didn't think that he was going to be the guy to make it. They weren't sure how well he would play. They weren't interested in giving him much of a deal. And they were looking at other guys that they thought maybe would be better. And here, Jordan Spieth, I think there's no question now that over the last year and a half, he has shown that he is the best young golfer America has. And, I mean, Patrick Reed's a young guy, but not as young as Jordan. Ricky, you know, he's completely put, if anybody's questioning, completely has put Ricky Fowler up on the shelf, because, quite honestly, Ricky Fowler can't hold a candle to Jordan Spieth right now.
No, it's really amazing when you're able to say Ricky Fowler, who finished in the top five in all four majors last year, might be the third best young American as we get ready to go into 2015 with, as you pointed out, certainly Jordan Spieth ahead of him. You can make an argument on Patrick Reed, but he certainly seems like he can fill in on that two slot. And then, you know, we go to Ricky Fowler at number three. Just incredible. Anyway, why don't we give a listen to what Jordan Spieth had to say on finishing in grand style. And by the way, courtesy of Golf Channel.
It got off to a dream start. You know, I went 3 under through the first four, and from there, you know, that made it a lot easier. I was able to kind of coast on the hard holes and got an eagle there at 7 to really, you know, step out front. And then the back nine, just tried to enjoy every single hole. I looked at the board after 9, saw it was 11 making the turn, and which is kind of ironic because I did that in college, looking at the board going off 10-tee. So it was cool experience doing that here in this tournament, but yeah, it was very interesting. It was the most fun I've ever had playing 9 holes of golf.
You know, Alex, when we mentioned finishing in grand style, just everything about Jordan Spieth is, you know, if you're in the media and you cover golf, or you're just a fan that loves golf, you have to be thrilled. He's a very polite young man. Got a pleasant smile. Doesn't seem to have any arrogance or any negative traits in his body as he goes along playing professional golf. I, for one, extremely excited. You and I both had the opportunity, pleasure of meeting Jordan when he was 16, playing in the Byron Nelson. Kind of suspected something was special then, but to be in the top 10 in the world and just 21 years old, truly remarkable.
Well, it is, and I just think it's just the way he got there. It's just it's one of those things where people weren't sure what he had, and now he's showing what he has. And, you know, there was a comment made, and I didn't hear it, but I read about it the other day by Roger Maltby on Saturday, basically saying, you know, he doesn't do anything great, but the package is the package, and the package is what does it. And I guess some people took that as a negative. And I mean, quite honestly, you know, just because you're a good, very good putter or a very good driver of the golf ball or whatever it may be, none of that really matters if you can't put a score on the card. And the thing that Jordan Spieth has shown, which I think is the most positive of all, is he showed that he could put scores on the card, and he can do it over time. I mean, look, you can't win golf. We talked about this before. You can't win golf tournaments by having a bad round. I mean, Jordan Spieth's bad round was, what, like 68 or 67? I mean, the guy was this week was crazy. And, you know, shooting 63 in the final round of a golf course where you were, I think, four or five shots better than anybody else in the final round, I mean, it just shows you he can shoot numbers. And that's what's required to win in professional golf these days. Not only the fact that you have to put four rounds together, but you got to shoot a number somewhere along the way, which is what Jordan Spieth has shown he can do. That is always a positive going down the stretch. And that's something, again, you know, take a Patrick Reed. He's another one that can shoot low numbers. These are things, these are the differences between guys now, these guys that come out, and guys 10 or 15 years ago. Look, Tiger Woods used to be able to shoot numbers. He can't do that now. He cannot compete. At the game that that man has right now, he cannot compete with a Jordan Spieth right now.
Well, the fascinating thing about Jordan Spieth, getting back to the comments by Roger Maltby, you know, there's no one strong part of you know, Jordan Spieth's game. A lot of times you hear people say, wow, he had a fantastic driver of the golf ball. Wow, he's a fantastic iron player. He's a fantastic short game player. He's a great putter. Jordan Spieth, I would say, is not great in any one of those things, but he doesn't have any weaknesses either. He drives the golf ball well enough. He hits his irons well enough. He putts certainly well enough. He does everything well enough to win like he did this weekend. And I just think that's a tribute to Jordan Spieth because, as you referred to, Alex, we're talking there about the total package. Speaking of the total package, what does he expect going into next year?
The expectations are just what I put on myself. I don't think they're necessarily a burden. I kind of take that as being goals that I set for myself in each year. And this year I had a goal, my last goal, that it didn't look like was going to be achieved was to win twice this year. And really, really pumped with the way we played the last 3 weeks and to get two wins here. You know, just shows that, it's not just me. This is a team effort. This goes to, trainer Cairo, swing coach Michael, Jay. It's a team effort to accomplish all the goals that we wanted to this year. But going forward, 2015 could be exciting. It was nice to close out a couple tournaments and shooting great scores doing so.
All right, you heard Jordan Spieth. Quite simply, Alex, he puts enough pressure on himself. So anybody else putting pressure on him doesn't mean a thing. He's taking care of that aspect.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, here's someone that he is looking to be better, and the only way he can be better is by playing better in his own mind. I mean, he's the one. He's not competing against anyone. He's competing against himself, and he knows what he expects of himself. He knows what he believes he can do, and then he has to prove to himself that he can get it done. And I mean, he had an idea that he wanted to win twice this year. I'm sure he wanted to win twice during the PGA Tour season versus after the PGA Tour season, but still, all in all, he wanted to win twice this year, and so he did. And, I'm sure that as he goes forward, the next step has to be a major championship. He came close this year and didn't get it done, and it was on him. I mean, he's the one that didn't get it done. He was leading going into the ninth hole, I believe, the eighth or ninth hole in the final round of Augusta, and didn't get it done. So now he knows what is required to get it done. And so I expect to see him not talk about trying to, play well and getting in top fives, finishing top fives in majors. I expect to see him win a major. And that, I think, will be the only thing that will satisfy Jordan Spieth in 2015.
Wow, it's pretty incredible at 21 that we even alluding to the fact that, we think that he will win a major this coming season. When you look at it realistically, if he doesn't win a major for the next 10 years and he goes on to win when he's 31, Tom Watson was older than 31 when he won his first major. So he's got 40 majors over the next 10 years to win. I mean, that talent, at the young age of 21, kind of scary.
Well, I mean, I think it's a pleasant surprise. I've been talking to some of the guys in Europe about Ryder Cup, and they'd all look at you and say, well, who are your young guys? We got young guys coming up. Who are your young guys? And it's pleasantly surprising to see Jordan Spieth step up even more than he did when he was at Glen Eagles. By the way, there were some odds out, Bobby, major odds for 2015 for players. And the odds of Jordan Spieth winning a major in 2015 are 4-1.
Wow. I don't know if I agree with that price, but you know, I'm a little shaky on my thinking every time I see Jordan Spieth. The first thing I say to him is, "Gee, I'm sorry. I know I told you to stay at the University of Texas and finish out your college career. If you listen to me, it'll cost you a couple of million dollars at least, and maybe a lot more." Although I did get a little smile on my face, Alex. I read where a couple of times during this past season he felt that he missed being at the University of Texas and going to class. And, you know, you find out that, you know, you can have all the money in the world, you can have all the golf titles in the world, but you only had that opportunity to go to college once.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But the problem is that when you're as good as he was, he was just spinning his wheels. And, you know, it's almost like I can stay in college and enjoy my 4 years and play golf, or I can be on the, I can be a professional. I could be making, you know, making a difference in my game. My game is going to actually stagnate to some extent if I stay in school. I mean, if you really think about it, his game would not progress as much. It would take him longer. And so he just had to make a decision, and it's never a pleasant one. I mean, Michelle, we made the decision to play LPGA golf and go to college, and guess what? I think she enjoyed college, but her golf suffered considerably. You know, I mean, so it's just a hard decision. When you're an athlete like that, you have to make that decision. And it's not just a golfer. I mean, there are other athletes that make those decisions as well. I mean, those poor swimmers make decisions about going to the Olympics at 13 and 14. By the time they get to the college, they're done. It's a different deal when you're an athlete. And Jordan Spieth made the decision, and you could understand how he wanted to be back in college. I could understand that too. I want to be back in college personally.
Well, I tell you what, I'll sponsor the scholarship if you want to go back, because you probably, if you did go back, you'd learn something about Tiger. All right, at the top of the show, I said I was really happy with what I saw. Let's talk about a couple of other aspects of Tiger's game before I disclose my information. Admittedly, he's swinging a lot better. He's able to swing really hard. Apparently, no pain. Little problem with the short game, but that's a quick fix, so we're not worried about that. He still moves the needle. I mean, that's all they talked about. Although I must say, it's the first time that I ever watched a golf tournament where they referred to, Tiger's going to 17 now, and he's well over par. I mean, they refused to say what he was. I mean, it was fascinating to watch something like that. And then watch the leaderboard. It would scroll down to the top 16 players, and they wouldn't go to 17 and 18. I mean, it's just, it's almost comical when you watch it unfolding. Of course, most people don't pay any attention to that. It's just something stupid, but it certainly caught my eye that referring to a golfer as he's well over par at the moment. I've never heard that before.
Well, they would refer to Arnold Palmer that way when he was playing and he didn't want to have his score known.
That was the end of his career.
Yeah, I understand that. Maybe you're answering your own question.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, no, don't trap me there. Pretty good move on your part. All right, here's what I was excited about.
Well, please, I can't wait.
All right. I mean, yeah, you know, Saturday, coming down the stretch is where you win major golf tournaments. He birdies two out of the three holes to finish up his round on Saturday. Not satisfied with that, he comes to 16 on Sunday. Birdie, 17, birdie, 18, birdie. I mean, that's how you close out golf tournaments. That was simply fantastic for me to see. First time back, and he still had that closing instinct in him two out of three birdies on the three holes on Saturday, 3 for 3 on Sunday. Watch out, Augusta.
Let me just ask a question. On that Saturday, that third hole, third of the three that you were talking about, I think it might have been 16. What happened there?
I just know the scores right now, Alex.
I believe it was a double bogey, but I didn't watch.
Saturday he went birdie on 16, birdie on 17, and parred 18. And Sunday he went birdie. That's why I'm excited. Now you understand, and you should apologize.
So he's 5 under on those 6 holes, right?
Yeah, the most important holes. That's how you close tournaments.
Absolutely, the most important holes. But the other 66 holes, he was what?
Well, he was, whatever. I don't even know. I wasn't watching that.
I would think it would be he was 5 over. Let's see. He was 5 over for those 66 holes, which means for those 66 holes, he was 31 shots behind Jordan Spieth. If Jordan Spieth would have given him 3 aside during the entire tournament, he still would have lost, right?
Yeah, but I
just want to make sure I understand this. I'm just trying to do the numbers. I mean, you were just giving me a part of the entire package. I just wanted to understand the entire package. So Tiger was even par with those 5 birdies, even par for his tournament, on a golf course he has lived on for years, plays golf on all the time, practices at, okay? And then you got Jordan Spieth, who clearly has played there before because he played an invitational. He's probably seen the course maybe 10 times in his life. And he beat him by 26 shots. I just want to make sure we understand this completely before we move on. That's all.
Yeah, but we weren't. I wasn't looking at, you look at it when they're designing an automobile. You know, first, you probably got to get a good bumper in the front and a good bumper in the back. You just don't design the whole car at once. What Tiger wanted to demonstrate to the other players in the field that, Tiger knows how to close out events. Now, if he has the lead at Augusta on Sunday afternoon, if he has the lead and he just duplicates what he did here at Isleworth, he'll go birdie at Augusta, and that green jacket will be his.
You know what? You're absolutely right. If Tiger was a car, a hero car, if Tiger was a car, he'd have a great bumper, and then when he got past the bumper, there'd be no seats, no engine, no transmission, and barely a steering wheel.
All to come later. Speaking of later, Alex, when do you think we're going to see Tiger next?
You hear all these different things. I mean, I couldn't get this thing. He wants to change the schedule. His schedule's going to be different, but I don't know what it's going to be. I don't think he's going to the Middle East. I think that's pretty clear. So it sounds like I would think it's going to be if he goes. Phoenix is weird this year because normally the schedule would be the 2 of the Hawaii events, then Haman in the desert, then San Diego, then Phoenix. But because Phoenix wanted to be up against with the Super Bowl being in Phoenix, they wanted to be the same week they wanted to have the event there. So Phoenix is now after Hermana. I can't believe that Tiger Woods would make a return to Phoenix because he would get pummeled by the fans if he played poorly. So, I mean, everybody believes that it's going to be San Diego, a place where he's had tremendous success. So I would think that they're right as well. I would think it's going to be San Diego. And there is some discussion about Pebble Beach, but again, Pebble Beach is kind of a weird place, and he clearly doesn't like Northern Trust. But the problem is he said he wants to play more early, so it's very hard to understand. I mean, quite honestly, I know this isn't a place he's been before, but Havana would be a perfect place for him. The golf courses are good, the greens are good, the conditions are generally good weather-wise. It's a great place for him to start, so I don't know why he wouldn't make the start there, but I don't think he will.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that it's going to be Torrey Pines due to the comfort factor. I don't know if Tiger is willing to get into, the amateur aspect of the Humana Challenge. But, hey, we'll have to wait and see. By the way, Lindsey Vonn who has been rehabilitating alongside of Tiger. She won her first World Cup race in almost 2 years at Lake Louise in Canada. And that's another thing that has me excited. They're rehabbing together, and now she's already won. It's quite natural that it's going to be Tiger winning next.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Lindsey Vonn, because obviously coming back from what she came back with is very difficult. Secondly, clearly she's understood the term rehab better than Tiger has, because she actually rehabbed. Tiger is still in some kind of state of animation that we don't understand yet, because he can't chip, Bob. How is it that he can't chip? That being said, I think it's a positive for Lindsey Vonn, and you know what? It's probably a little positive for Tiger. It was pretty funny. I saw someone ask about their two sports and, you know, what was harder or something like that, and Tiger said clearly skiing. He goes, I my life is not in jeopardy every time I tee it up.
Well, certainly a valid point. I mean, skiing is absolutely incredible. I tell you what we're going to do. We got to talk about the Nedbank Challenge. It took place down in South Africa. But first, we're going to take a timeout. You're listening to The Grill Room, brought to you by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, welcome back. European Tour Nedbank Challenge. Danny Willett wins. Luke Donald doesn't. Luke Donald was in the hunt, which is something that he hasn't been in for a long while. But Danny Willett, an ISM guy, actually, he's played very, very well. And, you know, Danny Willett, I saw in Turkey, Bob, he gets there, and he's got food poisoning when he came over from the U.K. Both him and his wife both have food poisoning. They're in the hospital on Monday night in Turkey getting IVs and trying to survive the night. Here, Danny Willett plays pretty well there. Give it another couple weeks, Danny Willett's a winner.
You know, he had 7 top tens on the European Tour last year. I mean, that's pretty consistent, and I was happy for Luke Donald. The thing that really amazed me, Alex, on Sunday, the final day, was Luke Donald's birthday. He turned 37 years old. I'm having a lot of difficulty wrapping my head around the fact that, you know, he's bearing down on 40 like a freight train.
Well, you got another guy that's bearing down on 40, and he's only got, what, like a couple weeks left? So
no, he's only going to be 39 at the end of this month.
You know,
come on.
His game looks like it's 59.
Yeah, don't pick
that. That being said, you know, Alistair Tate has followed Danny Willett for a while and wrote a pretty good story in GolfWeek.com about Willett's win. But let's hear what Danny Willett had to say about playing in South Africa.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I haven't played the Masters yet, but I've played every other major, and – You know, the vibe around this place, you know, is just incredible. Sport in South Africa is unbelievable. You know, they're all massive sport fans. But, you know, I've been playing in South Africa now for, you know, for 6 years on and off tour, you know, when I first got my card. So I guess it's one of them places that, you know, I really do, you know, seem to be accustomed to playing, you know, in South Africa. And, you know, we dropped on this week with, you know, with good numbers and, you know, and good play.
All right, that's Danny Willett talking about being in South Africa, a place that he certainly loves. And don't forget to take a look inside golfweek.com and the story by Alistair Tate and Danny Willett. Next up, LPGA Tour Q School finished actually today on Monday, Bob, with a 75-foot chip-in to get the last spot. Quite interesting. It's a very eclectic group. 11 different countries are represented in the top 20, of course the United States, but there's also a young lady from Israel, the first one to ever get a card on the LPGA Tour. Co-medalist was Allison Lee, an amateur at UCLA, and also Mina Lee, I believe, is the other one.
Minji Lee,
who kind of fell into the same situation as Lydia Ko, a young girl having to get an opportunity to play, getting the exemption, getting a chance to play, and now her and Allison Lee both were co-medalists, and there are 20 new shining LPGA women going to make their debuts on that tour next year, including, as I said, a one lady from Israel, I think it's Latia Beck, and also Cheyenne Woods. The only Woods to show up this weekend, Cheyenne Woods makes it, finishing 5-under and tie for 11th.
Yeah, congratulations to Kelly Shawn, the top Ivy League player, and actually the first player from Princeton to earn her LPGA Tour card. Pretty impressive stuff. What really surprised me, Alex, Charlie Hull, who was on the European Solheim Cup. Matter of fact, she was quite a star on that. She only made it as a conditional player. Just amazing what transpires.
Well, you know, when you got six rounds, anything can happen, which is kind of why the PGA Tour went to the way they did it, where they have these three tournaments, because they just feel like they're going to give the better player a better chance than a six round tournament. But that being said, it's a six round tournament for the Web.com Q School, and there's some interesting names in there. Rick Cochran, which is son of Russ Cochran, Bubba Dickerson, who won a U.S. Amateur, Brad Elder, who is one of the guys we've talked about in the past, who you would have thought would have played much, much better, a Nicholas Award winner from the University of Texas, Oliver Goss, Jeff Clouk, who had been ill and has come back from illness, Frank Licklider, Frankie the Blade, Ted Purdy, Jamie Sindelar, the son of Joey, DJ Trahan, and Mike Van Sickle, who we both know, Gary Van Sickle, who writes for SI, it's his son.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. When I see Frank Licklider and Ted Purdy, they're closing in on 50 years old. You know, I would think Licklider's probably in his mid-40s right now. I mean, I remember the first time I met Frank, we were at LAX. I guess we were on our way back from Hawaii. That had to be it, the Sony. And there was Frank standing by this luggage cart, and I had about 10 pieces of luggage on there. I said, "What are you doing, working as a bellboy on the side, augment your income?" He said, "Bob, would you believe it? This is what my wife took to go away for a week." Lovely wife, Diane, and we became friends after that. And we wish Frank Licklider a lot of luck. Ted Purdy, one of the good guys. How about Jamie Sindelar, the son of Joey? Alex, we're getting old. We're getting the sons out there now of players that we covered are trying to become professional golfers. Pretty soon, it's going to be the grandsons. That just says something about you and I. So even as the year ends, there's golf being played around the world, and we'll take a look at what's next on the schedule. But I have to remind you, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, powered by Golf Week, the insider's golf home, and heard on TuneIn.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All right, Alex, time for us to go to what's next on the schedule. Pretty light pickings this time of the year.
Yeah, it certainly is. European Tour. Going into their second event of the 2015 season at the Alfred Dunhill Cup at Leopards Creek in South Africa. Danny Willett will be in the field, as well as Charles Schwartzel, who's looking for a three-peat, Louis Oosthuizen and Oliver Wilson. And Charles' younger brother, Adi Schwartzel, has got an invitation as well. He plays generally on the Sunshine Tour. And then, of course, one of the events that I've never been to, but I always thought about going, but, you know, when you get to this time of year, you're just pooped, but the PNC family, father and son challenge at the Ritz Golf Carlton Golf Club in Orlando. 2 weeks in a row, there's golf in Orlando. This one is the father-son, and the defending champions are Stewart and Connor Cink. But there's some good players in the field that are kind of interesting. Nick Faldo's there with his son, Matthew. Bernhard Langer's in there with his, I believe, his daughter, right, Christiana?
Yeah, his daughter. They play quite frequently. How about Raymond Floyd? He's playing in this event for the 17th time. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Of course, a good friend of yours and I is playing, and they both have the same name, except one is number two.
Oh, yeah, Jack and Jackie, they're playing together. That's correct, Jack Nicklaus. Larry Nelson's playing in his 17th appearance as well with his son Josh. Johnny Miller is making a debut from 8 years ago with his son Andy, who came back, who used to actually play on the PGA Tour. BJ Singh is playing with his son Cass, Lee Trevino with his son Daniel. Pretty good group, 20 guys playing. It'll be interesting to see what happens there because, you know, a lot of these guys aren't playing that much, but they get kind of revved up when they're playing with their sons or daughters, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, I agree with you, Alex. Going to be a lot of fun, good watching, and if you're fortunate enough to be in the Orlando area, that's certainly one event worth going to, the father-son. You know, we haven't heard from Paul Casey in a while. He had a good comeback year and steadily climbed back up the world ranking ladder while using his Nike Max Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. So what we're going to do, we're going to make him the focal point on our Focus on Vision presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, powered by Golf Week, the Insider's Golf Home, and heard on TuneIn.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All
All right, we're back in the Grill Room. And Focus on Vision is our segment. It's presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. As we said earlier, we haven't heard from Paul Casey talking about his Nike Max sunglasses in a while. He had a great comeback year in 2014 after recovering from multiple injuries and steadily climbed back into the world rankings up the ladder to number 74 while using his Nike Max Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. He loves the advantages they provide to his game. Let's hear from Paul.
I've been wearing Nike eyewear for quite a while now, and you know, it's something I didn't really pay too much attention to growing up in the UK, where we don't get that much sunshine apart from the summertime. But landing in Arizona and playing Arizona State, you know, it had to become part of my game. And you know, it's all to do with the lenses. And you know, in fact, the Nike glass I got on today actually have some Transitions lenses in them, which are superb, because it's always that, you know, we're not playing a sport where the conditions are always the same. And with the Transitions lenses, being able to go in and out of the shadows, you know, the lenses will adapt to the amount of light, you know, being shined down on us. This is a very, very important part of equipment and important for making me play the best golf I can possibly play. You can actually get better vision than guys who are not wearing glasses, which is great.
Thanks to Paul, and all the best for the upcoming season on the PGA and European tours. You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transition Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, and also heard on TuneIn.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
Well, loyal listeners of the show realize that when they hear that music, it's time for news and notes. Always brings a smile to the face of Alex Maselli. So now let's take a look at all the news and notes and awards being handed out. First off, a good friend, Robin Burke, has been named the 2016 USA Curtis Cup team captain. Certainly well-deserving, Alex.
Well, yeah, I mean, Robin has certainly been a very good amateur player. She's played in Curtis Cup. She's played in a lot of amateur events. She's certainly a person that, when you look up, you would think that she would be a captain someday. She'll be captaining the 39th match, which will be conducted in the middle of the year, June 10th through 12th, at the Dunlaher Golf Club near Dublin, Ireland. I have to be honest with you, Bob, I've played in a lot of places. I have never heard of that golf course in my life. U.S. holds an overall 28-7-3 match record, but it's become more and more competitive as time has gone on.
Yeah, when I hear the name of Robin Burke, I can't help but flash back. It's the City Championship in Houston, match play event. Janice Self, our executive producer, going head-to-head with Robin Burke, who, you know, a fantastic golfer in her own right. And Janice neutralized a lot of the advantage Robin had by having me on the bag as a caddy. We're one up going into 16, par 3. Janice has about a 20-foot birdie putt. A little tricky, so I say, Janice, look, just you know, cuddle this down to the hole, and we'll take par and get out of here. We'll be one up with two to go. She knocks it 10 feet by. I said, what happened? She said, oh, I wanted to make birdie. She misses it coming back. We lose the match, and up until then, I don't think I ever lost a match as a caddy, but that all went down the drain in the Houston City Championships. I believe it was a semifinal. So had we won that one, boy, we would be right back into the finals. All right, let's move along. How about Stacey Lewis, Alex? Three prestigious LPGA End of the Year awards. She wins all three, first American to do so since Betsy King, and that was way back in 1993. Stacey, way to go, gal, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, let's let everybody know what they are. The Rolex Player of the Year Award, the VAR Trophy for Lowest Scoring Average, and the Official Money Title, all of those are Stacey Lewis's. I think it's interesting to note that on the scoring average, I believe there are five women that were under 70 in scoring average this year on the LPGA Tour, the first time ever, just again showing how good the talent pool is out on that tour.
Speaking of talent, I think he has most of it in the pool, and that's on the Champions Tour. Bernhard Langer, named Champions Tour Player of the Year award of the year, so he wins the Jack Nicklaus Award. Scott Dunlap earns Rookie of the Year. And speaking of Jack Nicklaus, he is in line to receive something very special. Tell our listeners what that is, Alex.
Well, we had we've had the Presidential Medal of Freedom that was just given to Charlie Siffert, the third golfer to ever receive it. Now Jack Nicklaus is slated to receive the Congressional Gold Medal, which is Congress's highest civilian honor. There's legislation that's been there. It has to be signed by President Barack Obama, and once done, he will be only the second golfer ever to receive that, along with Arnold Palmer. Other recipients included Rosa Parks, Joe Louis, and Neil Armstrong. Nicklaus received the Medal of Freedom back in 2005, and it'll be an interesting event there in Washington. There was also an interesting event, Bob, all the way halfway around the world in Turkey at the Beko Classic. John Daly, who says his game is starting to come into form, wins his first event in 10 years, a pro-am event sanctioned by the PGAs of Europe. And Darren Clark was actually in the field as well. John Daly wins $8,000, but he's going to spend all that on the ring because he's decided to get married for the fifth time to his longtime girlfriend, and at the time, I believe, probably caddy, Anna Kalakis. So 8,000 in, and I'm sure more than 8,000 out. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, and John promised me this the last time. He said, I didn't get it right, Bob, the first four times, but number five is going to be the charm. And as you said, Alex, he won $8,000. His airline ticket to go play in the event was $8,200. So I don't know how beneficial winning that really was.
Well, but I think some of that was probably covered, Bob. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah, we won't get into that. But good luck, big John Daly. Enjoy marriage number five. Padraig Harrington, he wins for the first time in 4 years the Indonesian Open.
Hey, winning is winning. It can only breed more winning generally. I think it's a positive for Padraig Harrington. We'll see what happens, but I expect something out of him a little better than what he's been doing over the last 4 years. So congratulations, Padraig Harrington. I'm sure coming home with that trophy into Ireland is going to be something they'll be very happy when the family sees him. Well, Bobby, that's it for the week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and powered by Golf Week, where you get the inside story every week, and we're heard on TuneIn.
We mean it here in The Grill Room. We truly appreciate you giving a listen each and every week. So a big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses and The Golf Week. For Janice Self, Alex, Bowtie Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show, and on golfweek.com.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.